2026 NFL Scouting Combine is kicking off this week, and the New York Giants are going to be there scouting some of these prospects, trying to figure out which direction they will go in the NFL draft. The Giants have a lot of needs to fill this offseason. They're going to fill a lot of them through free agency, and obviously, at the NFL Scouting Combine, a lot of those free agency negotiations begin to happen, some trades begin to happen, but we'll see all of that in a couple of weeks. But right now, focusing on this Combine, who are the sleepers? Who are the guys that the Giants should be watching closely at the Combine and keeping an eye on for their draft board? Well, we've identified several players that the Giants should be scouting closely at the Combine this week at their positions of need. So, wide receiver, corner, safety, linebacker, interior offensive line, interior defensive line. There's a lot of needs on this Giants roster, like I said, but there are a lot of prospects that we have quickly identified and we really like as potential sleepers. So keep an eye on these names as you watch the scouting combine this week. Some of them could be risers, some of them could be fallers, some of them, like we said, could be absolute sleepers. So, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And how are you feeling as the Giants head into the NFL scouting combine this week?
Well, I'm buried under, 15, 16 inches of snow, so I'm just chilling, talking about the Giants and, you know, looking forward to the NFL Combine. Obviously, there's lots of exciting players. We're entering that time of the year where we are fully entrenched in the free agent profiles, the draft profiles. Now we start getting to work and looking at players that we think the Giants could be targeting. Now, we know their weaknesses, right? They need a receiver, assuming, you know, they don't bring back Wandale. They need a linebacker. They need a cornerback, probably. They need a defensive interior guy. Maybe they'll go into free agency and find somebody, or, you know, maybe an offensive line. They need a lot, honestly. Let's be quite honest here. The Giants have quite a lot of needs. They have some linchpin pieces, some of those, like, you know, cornerstone players, but for the most part, they need starters at multiple positions, and you gotta be able to hit in the mid rounds, right? John Harbaugh's pretty used to drafting towards the end of each round. He is used to finding talent where other people are simply not looking, and the Giants are, you know, used to drafting at the top of every round. So I think this is gonna be a pretty important draft class for the Giants to get right. I wish it was a bit of a stronger class in some respects. However, there's lots of good receivers and there's lots of good linebackers. So that's the two positions the Giants really need to solve. But Anthony, I'm excited to dive into some players that we should be looking forward to at the combine, but also guys that just could be of interest for the Giants.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth in this draft class, in my opinion. Like, there are legitimate starters that I think the Giants could find at linebacker on day two or day three, even. Same for interior defensive line. So we're going to go into those guys. But Alex, let's focus first on the fifth overall pick. Who are the Giants going to need to keep a close eye on this week at the Combine in consideration of the fifth overall pick? So some names that come to mind for me, Carnell Tate, obviously want to see what he does during the drills. How does he run? What does he measure in at? He's being touted as a big 6'3" outside body. Well, what does he weigh in at? What does he officially measure at in his height? I want to see that. I also want to see Jordan Tyson. What's the buzz around him at the Combine? One of the most important aspects of the scouting Combine is the medicals. The teams interview these players, they do medical checks on them, and they check them out. Well, we know that Jordan Tyson has a lengthy injury history in his collegiate career. Does he pass all of his medical exams, and how does that affect his draft stock? So keeping an eye on Jordan Tyson. Mansoor Delane, the LSU cornerback. He is widely considered to be the number one corner in this class. There's some other guys that fight for that spot. I could see the Giants going corner in the first round if they're not able to upgrade at that position through free agency. How does he look during the drills? He's been kind of, you know, his weakness that people have cited for him is athleticism. Maybe he doesn't have the top end elite speed that you might want for a cornerback. Does he prove them wrong and run a fast 40-yard dash time? You know, that's something to keep an eye on, as well as guys like Sonny Styles, a linebacker out of Ohio State with the fifth overall pick. I saw Mike Renner of CBS Sports say he's the best linebacker prospect that he has ever scouted. Well, that's quite a glowing review from a guy who's been doing NFL draft content at CBS Sports and Pro Football Focus over the last 10 years. So I think that's a pretty nice, kind of word of affirmation for Sonny Styles. Who else, Alex? Who's coming to your mind for the fifth overall pick that you could see being in consideration for the Giants, but also you want to see what they prove at the Combine this week?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's the Combine's obviously important in some respects. You get the interviews, you get, you know, the measurements and speed and all the good tangible stuff. Most of, I feel like, what they find is on, you know, they're watching the film and whatnot. But, you know, looking at the names that you just threw out there, I mean, obviously, guys like Mansoor Delane, there's the cornerback room for the Giants is thin right now. They don't have Cordell Flott. They have Paulson Adebo in his one leg. So right now, they have Andrew Phillips, of course. They need a cornerback. I would not be surprised at all if the Giants went with like a Mansoor Delane type of player in the first round. It would not surprise me if they went and found a cornerback. You know, you look at the Ravens. They love drafting DBs in the first round historically. This is a team, the Giants, that has done so a couple times, like Deontay Banks, but not necessarily gone after quarterback all that often. Banks was kind of that first one. We're like, oh yeah, like we need a cornerback. You know, we should probably spend a first round pick once in a while at the position. But I do think Delane's one that I'm obviously looking at. The first round though is super. I would say after the first six or seven picks though, it does drop off. I don't necessarily know if there's anyone that I'm looking forward to specifically in the first five. I'm looking more so for the second and third rounds. Those are the guys that we'll see how those metrics really blow their stock up.
Yeah, and we'll get into those guys in a second. But the last one that I want to mention, who I was trying to tee you up for, was Caleb Downs. You went over
Say Caleb Downs, but I was like, we know so much about him. Like, whatever
we don't know everything, though. We don't know everything because Caleb Downs, 6 foot, 200 pounds is how he's listed on Ohio State's website. What if he comes in at 6'1", 210? What if he comes in at 5'11", 185? Big difference, right? And that's going to affect his draft stock. So everybody refers to him as this prototypical peak safety. He's like the perfect build for a safety. Let's see if the measurables back that up and if he's still going to be considered a top five pick, or if that hurts his stock if he comes in a little shorter and underweight and maybe he ends up being a top 15 pick that the Giants all of a sudden can maybe trade down and acquire. So again, that's why I'm keeping an eye on these prospects at the fifth overall pick at the combine, Jordan Tyson as well included, because of the medicals. How does that affect his stock? I think that some of these guys with the fifth overall pick, Alex, you're right. We already know who they are. We already know the film. We already know their talents. But how does the combine potentially affect that? Could they end up being sliders into the middle of the first round? And could the Giants potentially trade down and then acquire them there? A guy who had top five film that you then trade down to get because of some sort of intangible traits. You get him at 15 or 12 or whatever if you trade down. So just food for thought. But let's go ahead and dive into those day two, day three picks, those sleepers. Alex, who's a sleeper prospect that you really like? First guy that comes to mind.
I wouldn't label him a sleeper in the second round because a good combine could boost him into the first. But this is a guy I tweeted about maybe 2 days ago out of Indiana, receiver Omar Cooper Jr. This is a guy who I think fits what the Giants, if they're going to let Wandale Robinson leave, if he's going to go to the Titans, he's going to get his bag, which he's going to get paid. He's the best receiver on the market, realistically, in terms of youth and upside at this point. The Giants are probably not going to be able to extend him. And if that's the case, you might look to a player like Omar Cooper Jr. out of Indiana to supplement his departure. And the reason for that is he's bigger, he's stronger, he still has the yak abilities, but he's a really, really good run blocker. And what we know about this Giants offense, the direction that it's going with John Harbaugh is that, and you know, of course, Matt Nagy and Greg Roman, they're going to be emphasizing the ground game. They're going to be running the football a lot, lots of play action. You know, Omar Cooper Jr. has been really good off script. He's really shifty. This is a guy that I think with a good combine could see an astronomical rise in stock, even though it's already pretty high. But this is a really good player that can go inside and out. He's mostly a slot guy, but he's just a little bulldog, man. He's a good blocker. He's good after the catch. He has really good hands. I think he dropped three passes the whole season. This is a really solid prospect that could develop into a tremendous slot receiver in the NFL. Giants could be looking for this. He seems like a good scheme fit for them.
Yeah, I really like Omar Cooper. He reminds me a lot of a Deebo Samuel type receiver. If you watch his run after the catch ability, he moves like a running back. He's got incredible contact balance. He plays with power. But like you said, great catch radius, can go inside, outside. He's bigger than Wandale Robinson. So even though he is kind of a slot receiver, he's got a little bit more strength and a little bit more versatility to go outside than a Wandale type player might. Plus, Omar Cooper, one of the biggest selling points, how about his willingness as a blocker? He is a damn good run blocker, and I think that's something that the Giants will definitely value in this new John Harbaugh-led team and offense with Matt Nagy, Greg Roman, and the rest of the bunch. I think they're going to really value run blocking from the receiver position. So Omar Cooper, keep him on your draft boards, guys, as the Giants potentially, if they pass over a wide receiver with the fifth overall pick, let's say they take Caleb Downs, round two, number 37 overall, that's going to be a prime spot for them to take a wide receiver. Let's see if Omar Cooper falls that far. But again, like Alex said, good combine. All of a sudden, he could be the 20th overall pick in the draft. You guys know how the combine can affect draft stocks. But let me talk about one other wide receiver that I really like, Alex. I don't think this is a round two prospect. I think this is more round three. I know the Giants don't have a third round pick, but potentially round four, maybe even round five, just because he went to such a small school, I could see him falling into the mid to late day three range. That's going to be Ted Hurst out of Georgia State. He was a Senior Bowl week absolute standout. This kid is really exciting. He's 6'3". He runs probably in the 4.4s this week. And again, that's why we're talking about this, because if he runs a little bit lower than expected or a little bit faster, we'll see how that affects his draft stock. But he's 6'3". He's really fluid in his movement. He's great with contested catches. I honestly think, Alex, this kid is like Carnell Tate light. You know, he didn't go to the big school. He didn't play in the Big Ten. He didn't play at Ohio State. He played at Georgia State. But he put up some really good numbers at Georgia State. He's got really good route running skills for a guy who went to a small school. He can run after the catch. He's got breakaway speed for sure, but he uses every ounce of that 6'3" frame to go up there, make those contested catches. He's great in the red zone, has an awesome catch radius, and he makes some of the most spectacular grabs that you will ever see, including at the Senior Bowl, this ridiculous one-handed catch on a go route down the left sideline. So I really like Ted Hurst, Alex. Maybe you're familiar with him. Kind of what's your opinion on Ted Hurst and just the general idea of keeping an eye on these potential day three wide receivers as the Giants could try and snag one in the later rounds this year?
Yeah. Do you know what, off the top of your head, do you know what his drop rate was last season? Or can you look that up for me?
Tell it to me.
I don't know. I'm asking. I wasn't sure if you knew. Look it up for me while
I have it written down, so let me go find it in my notes.
Okay, find it. Find it for me, because I wanted to emphasize a point that I want to make. And essentially, when it comes to the Giants, we've been trying to force feed this archetype of receiver, this thin, fast, straight line receiver who has limited route tree. I'm talking obviously about Jalin Hyde and Darius Slayton, very similar styles of players. I think it's time that we go away from that, because neither of those two guys can make contested catches consistently, right? Slayton had that ability at one point, but he seemingly just every year is different. We don't know what version you're going to get. Every game is different for Slayton. I don't trust him. I don't think many people do at this point. Tell me what his drop rate was.
It's a little high. It's 9%. He had 7 drops last season, but on 124 targets, 7 drops. It's not awful to me, but I
look the other way.
9%. 9% sounds a little loud.
I think that I also could be, I don't know what's exactly designated as a drop. I'd have to see the drops, but some of them are quarterback related, whether it's underthrown, you know, it could be of various reasons. But most importantly, when it comes to Ted Hurst, smaller school, like you said, Georgia State, like this is a guy that has not gone up against elite competition, which is why he might drop a little bit further. However, his 50-50 ball capabilities, his possession capabilities are straight up elite, right? He's fast. He gets into good position. His body control in the air on balls that are in the air. And here, actually, this does favor Jaxson Dart quite a bit, because Jaxson Dart doesn't throw fastballs, right? He's a lot more of a touch style quarterback. He likes to loft it into the space rather than throw like Daniel Jones was throwing absolutely laser beams. And oftentimes it was just underthrown or it was overthrown. Like, there was no touch to his passes. When it comes to Dart, there's a lot of touch. So it actually favors receivers like Ted Hurst quite considerably, because it allows him to position his body, react accordingly, and then go up and high point the football. I do like that fit. I do think that fit does make a lot of sense for the Giants. You know, he's big, he's fast. Yes, there's a lot of refinement that's necessary. I might opt for a player that has a little bit more experience against higher competition, just because he's going to need more time. So I don't know if I'd spend a second rounder on him. Maybe a fourth rounder would be more in my comfort zone, like you were saying. But yes, like, I see the upside there. A year or two with growth, I think he could definitely develop into a pretty solid NFL player. If you're looking for an instant impact piece, probably not the direction you want to go in. But as a developmental kind of, like, you're slow building this guy, he could be a really good piece for you, like year two or three.
Yeah, I really like him as a developmental prospect. Like I said, probably early day three, but let's see, because he has a lot of buzz. You mentioned he didn't face a ton of great competition in Georgia State. That's absolutely right. But he did face NFL-level talent at the Senior Bowl, and he whooped some ass at the Senior Bowl. So now he's got a lot of buzz going into the combine. He interviews well. All of a sudden, people are going to say, hey, didn't face NFL competition in college, but he whooped the NFL competition that he did face at the Senior Bowl, we can feel comfortable taking him in maybe the third, fourth round. I think that's something that you could totally see for Ted Hurst, a guy, like you said, Alex, great catch radius, contested catches, great speed as well. Really intriguing prospect. Kind of one of those fireside Giants, my guys, that we find every year. We always seem to find a wide receiver that can go in the middle rounds that seems to be a hit. Maybe this is the one this year. Ted Hurst coming out of a small school, big fan of his. But let's move on to linebacker Alex, because there's a prospect that I really like potentially as early as the second round, pick number 37 overall. That's going to be Anthony Hill Jr. out of Texas. And the reason why I want to highlight him for the scouting combine in particular is because of his athleticism. There's a lot of linebackers in this class that'll potentially go on day two. It's actually a very strong linebacker class. That's a great thing for the New York Giants. And that's also a great thing for the NFL draft, because the linebacker classes have been trash year in and year out, probably each of the last 6 years, it feels like. But Anthony Hill Jr., a sleeper who could go early round two, but let's see what he does at the combine, because he is a freak athlete on film. Does he weigh in at this big frame that he had, that he was listed with at college, of 6'3", 240 pounds? If he keeps that weight and that height measurement, that's going to be a big thing for him. And then if he does run that projected 4.5 40-yard dash time, all of a sudden you could be talking about him as a lock to go early second round, or potentially as a late first round pick. But I really like this kid. He's physical. He's good against the run. He actually has really good coverage skills in zone. Not so good in man from what I watched, but he's really good in zone. But he's just one of those play with your hair on fire kind of players who, yes, can get a little over aggressive at times, kind of reminiscent of Micah McFadden, shooting those gaps and missing the tackles in the backfield, but blowing up the play nonetheless and being aggressive. Tackles a little high sometimes, will miss some tackles. So the Micah McFadden comparison once again coming in here, but this is a far more athletic player than a Micah McFadden. This is a guy kind of similar to a N'Kobe Dean of the Philadelphia Eagles. Freak athleticism, can rush the passer, can make plays in space in coverage. This is the kind of guy that I think fits perfectly in a Denard Wilson, John Harbaugh defense. Harbaugh always emphasized freakishly athletic linebackers throughout his entire tenure with the Baltimore Ravens. Anthony Hill Jr., he looks like a Baltimore Raven to me, which means he looks like a potential New York Giants target with the number 37 overall pick.
I really like this player. If you just turn on his film for 5 minutes, what you're going to see is a guy that goes from a base, like a statue, to full speed in under 2 seconds, right? He goes from 0 to 60 really fast. And like you mentioned, I think the added element of he can rush the passer, there's actually quite a bit of film of him just rushing the passer off the edge. As he's standing, he's not in a two-point stance, but he's just standing as an edge rusher, and he's able to win blocks. He's supposed to defeat blocks and get around the edge. His speed is what I think is so exciting. And that's been a big qualm with our linebackers, aside from Micah McFadden, like Bobby Okereke. The biggest qualm that people have with him is he's too slow, right? He's not an explosive athlete. He's more of a manager, like a game manager type of linebacker. He's not going to do anything explosive for you. He's not going to come up and make a huge play all the time. Sometimes he has those nice peanut punches in the past, but you know, that's really where the majority of his value came from. In terms of turnovers, Anthony Hill Jr. is pretty intriguing because he really has pace to him. Like you talked about explosiveness, he really gets after the runner, and he has pretty good vision too. If you watch him, I was watching just him against Vanderbilt, and his ability to just mitigate those gaps and see where the ball carrier is. He's very patient. He's not like one thing that Micah McFadden did that we didn't love all the time is he'd shoot the gap even if he didn't know a player was there. Sometimes he got it right and, he'd get into the backfield and blow up a play. Sometimes he'd shoot a gap and he would be in no man's land and the guy would be on the other side of the field, right? Like, that's the problem sometimes when you're an aggressive player like that. What I like about Anthony Hill Jr. is that he actually is quite patient, but he has the athleticism to turn it on when he needs to. So he oftentimes picks the right gap and then his athleticism kicks into shape. And he's able to get after the quarterback, interrupt passing lanes, help in all those different ways. Like you mentioned, more of a zone coverage type of guy than a man coverage type of guy. But I think people think it's easy to find good coverage linebackers in the NFL. It's not. I promise you, it's really freaking hard. Oftentimes, those linebackers are a bit undersized because they have to be a bit more athletic. However, if you're like the Giants right now and you walk with, imagine you went and got Caleb Downs and then Anthony Hill Jr. and you're like, you know what? Let's just give our defense two monster athletic players. Probably not what they would do. But if they did do that, you never know. Their defense is damn good on paper. Damn good on paper. So I think that you get a lot more athleticism, a lot more youth and leadership at the same time. So I do like this player a lot in the second round if he was to fall that far.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about fixing the run defense overnight. How about you draft Anthony Hill Jr. at the top of the second and you take Caleb Downs at 5 overall, Caleb Downs being an elite run enforcer from the safety spot who can get into the box, Anthony Hill being this freakish athlete who can shoot gaps and disrupt things in the run, and then, hey, for shits and giggles, why not sign Christian Wilkins at defensive line? He's a free agent that's now being connected to the Giants. I like him a lot. Imagine him, Dexter Lawrence, plus these two rookies. I think that run defense quickly goes from worst, maybe not all the way to first, but damn near close to it with those three additions. So definitely a name to keep an eye on there, Anthony Hill Jr. But let's go back to the discussion about run defense. Who could the Giants draft on the interior of the defensive line? I've got a guy, Alex, that I really want to talk about. Cue the Godfather music. We're talking about Corleone. We're talking about Dante Corleone. This is a kid out of Cincinnati who plays like a mauler against the run. He's big. He's heavy. He's not exactly a pass rushing expert, but he is just this center of mass, like the center of gravity in the middle of the defensive line that can line up right next to Dexter Lawrence. He's got some flexibility to play the zero. He plays the three. He kind of moves around the interior of the defensive line. He won't kick out to the edge, but he will just be a big anchor next to Dexter Lawrence, potentially pairing with him as this guy that can really stop the run. So I like Corleone, Alex. Let me know what you think about him, the Cincinnati interior defensive lineman, or if you have any other interior defensive lineman that you like as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you're looking at the Giants situation, you drafted Jairus Alexander in the third round last year. Seems to be better as a pass rusher at this point in his career, a little bit undersized, but you can have guys that fit a specific mold, right? You don't have to have players that are like, this is both a pass rusher and a run stopper. You know, you can have, okay, Dexter Lawrence is good at both. And then the guy next to him, early downs, you have someone like Corleone on the field. And then later downs, you have Jairus Alexander on the field. Like if it's 3rd and 7, you got Alexander on the field. If it's 2nd and 4, you know, you got a guy like Corleone on the field. And a lot of people like John Franklin Myers as well in free agency. But he's going to cost a little bit of money. He's a little better as a pass rusher at this point in his career, I think. He was really good last. I think he had 8 sacks and like 43 pressures or something. Been really solid for the Broncos for 2 seasons. But, you know, looking at what the Giants can do, you could just solve the run defense with a mid-round pick like this, like Corleone, as a specified solution. It doesn't have to be as one size fits all. It could just be, this guy's a good run stopper, let's draft this guy and pair him late downs with Alexander, early downs with Corleone. I think that's a fine solution. You don't need to have these first round caliber players at every single spot. It's impossible. You need to have situational guys that play a specific role. You know, what do you think about that? I have no problem with that kind of approach to solving a spot like that.
No, I really like that. I think one of the takeaways that NFL teams are going to have from the Super Bowl is to have bodies in the trenches. So what I mean by that, if you watch the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs, that defensive line was relentless and it was constantly shifting. They had new personnel coming in every other down. They were just constantly making shifts and substitutions. That entire season, I think this stat is correct. You can fact check me if you want. I don't think the Seahawks had a single guy go for double-digit sacks in 2025, but they did have a bunch of talented players constantly rotating on the defensive line, relentlessly pursuing the quarterback. So that's what the Giants need to build. That's what all of these other NFL teams, we talk about it being a copycat league. What are they going to do? They're going to add bodies on the trenches. They're going to get guys for situations, specific players to fit situational football, whether that's, you know, drafting a guy like Dante Corleone here, who could be available on day 3 for the Giants as a backup nose tackle. Well, now all of a sudden, okay, Dexter Lawrence and Dante Corleone, this 335-pound defensive tackle, can both take the field at the same time on a 3rd and short. Now you got another body, because the Giants, they don't have another extra heavy interior defender. Like you're saying here, Alex, when you get into those situations, 3rd and short, 4th and short, the Giants have been left undersized because the only oversized guy that they have is Dexter Lawrence. Now you add another oversized guy in who can hold his own and anchor against an offensive lineman, a guard or a center, and now you have a better chance of stopping some of those inside runs, halfback dives, and quarterback sneaks on 3rd and 4th and short. So I love the idea of playing situational football and making these substitutions on the defensive line. That's what the Seahawks did. That's how they won a Super Bowl. That's what the Eagles did the year before. They had a bunch of speed guys on the defensive line and rotated them all in, but the Seahawks had a nice blend of speed, power and kind of finesse all mixed in with those bodies that they had on the defensive line. So I like that idea, Alex. I really, really like that idea of just adding bodies to this unit and making it a rotational unit. So that's a good idea. Yeah.
There's a couple other guys too. Lee Hunter out of Texas Tech, Darryl Jackson Jr. out of Florida State, DeMonte Capehart out of Clemson, Dominique Orange out of Iowa State, Cameron Ball out of Arkansas. These, like, if you want, like, you know, for example, let's talk about Cameron Ball for a second. This is a guy who's SEC battle tested, right? So he's coming from a high level of play against high level competition. He's 6'5" and 324 pounds. He offers basically zero pass rush support. So you're going to get nothing from him as a pass rusher, but early down run stopper, this is who you want, right? He's long arms, big ass dude, takes up space, elite anchor, already played against top competition. Like, that's the kind of player you grab and you say, okay, he fills a need for us and I don't have to spend a top 200 pick on him. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get him in the fifth, sixth round potentially. I'm not exactly sure what his projection is. I'd have to look into that. But just based on the fact he has no pass rush upside, you're probably looking at like a fourth to sixth round projection. He solves a need for you though without spending premium draft capital. So like guys like Cameron Ball, like those are the players you're like, all right, I don't need to go and spend 10 mil per season. We've already taken this route, by the way, Anthony. We've already gone and spent money on Raheem Nunez-Roche, spent money on Roy Robertson-Harris, spent money on how many other guys to solve the interior defensive spot alongside Dexter Lawrence, but none of them can stop the run at a high enough level. That's been their biggest issue across the board. None of them have the ability to stop the run. When Dexter Lawrence is off the field, their entire run stopping falls apart. So I think you go and get a guy like this, like Cameron Ball or, you know, Corleone, and you say, okay, I don't need Dexter Lawrence to be on the field all the time on the early downs. I can save him for the third down big plays when we need him. It's 3rd and 7, 3rd and 4. Like, we need a big moment. He's well rested. That's, you don't want to take him off the field, because the problem is the Giants take him off the field in the early downs. They try to get some other guys to rotate in and none of them can stop the run. So you're looking at 2nd and 2, 2nd and 3. Like, it's easy to convert. The Giants need somebody they can trust that way. Dexter Lawrence doesn't have to be on the field every single play. Increases probability of injury, fatigue. They need people that can hold their own when he's not on the field. So I think guys like this, they serve a specific purpose. They get in the rotation early and they're able to help, impact this Giants defense on day one and not, 2 years from now. So I do agree with this point quite a lot. They can find a solution there in the draft. They don't need to find someone in free agency to spend money on.
Absolutely. While I'm an advocate for signing Christian Wilkins, that's more so just based on the buy low opportunity. Christian Wilkins didn't play a snap last year. He had some controversy in the Las Vegas Raiders locker room, but he's best friends with Dexter Lawrence. He's coming off of a season that he didn't play in. He's got to prove it once again. You're probably getting Christian Wilkins for relatively close to the veteran minimum. I would assume it's probably a 1 year, $3 million, $5 million deal for prove it player who used to be elite, used to be an all pro level talent. Yeah, I'll take that. So that's, but that's different. Outside of that, rather than signing guys like Raheem Nunez-Roche and Roy Robertson-Harris, Alex, like you mentioned, I'd rather take darts and throw them at the board for some of these mid to late round defensive tackle prospects that you can just have in the farm and develop over the next couple of years, especially guys who fit specific roles, guys like Dante Corleone, who fits that role as a backup nose tackle that can just plug A gaps and fight and compete in that regard on the defensive line. So that's just one food for thought there on the interior defensive line, guys. But let me talk about a couple more defensive backs that I want to touch on. And number one here being Brandon Sice out of South Carolina, Alex. The reason I want to bring him up, he is a prospect to watch at the top of the second round, but they're saying he could push into the 4.2s in his 40-yard dash, and if he does that, all of a sudden, you're talking about a first-round pick from the South Carolina cornerback. So keep an eye on him. Know the Giants like speed at the cornerback room. That's one of the reasons that they were so attracted to Deonte Banks. He was very fast, had a 9.99 relative athletic score in 2023. Brandon Sice also could have a very high relative athletic score, so I'll keep an eye on him. And then one last defensive back that I want to call out there, Alex, before you give your take on both of these guys, Dylan Tiemann, Oregon safety, also played at Purdue, transferred to Oregon. He's supposed to go in the second round probably as well, potentially at pick number 37. The Giants have pulled this strategy before. A couple of years ago, they took Tyler Newbin in the second round as the first safety off the board in that draft class. Tiemann, he won't be the first safety off the board because that will be Caleb Downs, but this is a player very similar in playing style to Caleb Downs. He's referred to as a chess piece. He played a lot in the box, in the deep half, and in the slot, so he moves around with versatility. He's pretty good against the run, and similar to Caleb Downs, he comes in at 6 foot, 205 pounds. So he's not the same caliber prospect as Caleb Downs. He's not going to go first round, probably not at least, but Tiedemann could go on the second round or sometime on day two. And if you don't take Caleb Downs in the first round, but you want to take a John Harbaugh style playmaker safety, perhaps Tiedemann is that kind of prospect to keep an eye on day two. So I'll let you kind of give you a chance to touch on those two defensive backs, Alex, and any others that you have in mind.
Yeah, I mean, you can never go wrong with a safety, you know, that has some athletic upside. And I think that's, you know, something that the Giants need is depth. And worst case scenario, you get somebody that can offer special teams value early on. But Brandon Cisse, I think I'm remembering soccer players, the last name spelled exactly the same as General Cisse. But Brandon Cisse, what I like the most about him, 20 years old. This dude is a baby. He's a freaking infant. He's so young. That's what I love about players like this. They can develop into their own. And by the time that their contract is over for the rookie deal, they're only 24 years old, 25 years old, which is why people want to extend Cordell Flott for what it's worth. But Cease is interesting. The one thing I like about him a lot, he's a really good run defender, right? He spent 2 years at NC State, then South Carolina this past season, played 492 snaps. Really good tackler, really, really good tackler, really good run defender. That's what John Harbaugh likes. That's what his defense predicates. Denard Wilson, that's what they want. They want guys who are going to, especially at cornerback. So if you're like Andrew Phillips is a godsend for John Harbaugh. Like Andrew Phillips is exactly the type of player that he likes in his defenses. But if you're Deontay Banks right now and you don't try when you tackle, you're in trouble. You know, if you are another player who doesn't give maximum effort and tackle downhill and be aggressive, you're in big trouble, man. But Cease looks like a guy that, you know, if your run stopping capabilities are that good, it's because you're aggressive, you have good instincts, and you're able to sniff things out. So that's a really good foundation to build off of. And, you know, if he's an athletic guy, as you suggest, you know, there's definitely a lot of upside in coverage too, just might need a little bit more time to develop his game. So that's one to keep an eye on for sure. I do like that a lot. In terms of other DBs though, let's see here. I wrote down a couple. There's guys like Davison Agbenosun out of Ohio State. You know, aggressive, in-your-face press coverage, long physical corner, built for that type of archetype. And then you have Malik Muhammad out of Texas, a versatile competitive corner man and man coverage. Guys, you know, better against shifty receivers. So, you know, smaller guys. And, you know, our division doesn't have that many, I'd say, I guess you could say like CeeDee Lamb is shifty, but they're bigger. Like they have a lot of big receivers in our division right now, you know, with guys like George Pickens and, you know, even CeeDee's got some size to him and even Terry McLaurin, but if he's even healthy next year, AJ Brown, you know, Devonta Smith. So, you know, you need guys that can go up against anybody. And then, you know, you talked about before, this is a first round pick of Mansoor Delane. That's the cream of the crop, probably at cornerback in terms of. I mean, there's one other guy. I forget his name though. I think there's one other guy that's up there, if I'm not mistaken. Do you remember what his name
there's
is?
There's a couple guys who might go in the first round of the draft.
I'm saying top five, top ten. I think there's another guy in the top ten, but I haven't done a ton of research at the cornerback position just yet. So I'm excited to dive into that position group. But Mansoor Delane, definitely. Like you mentioned earlier, if he was to slip a couple spots, like 7-8, the Giants traded back, that could be something they consider. Unless obviously Harbaugh has conviction and a gold jacket level player like Caleb Downs, which he kind of already said publicly.
Yes, he did say that publicly, and that's why I think Caleb Downs is his target in the first round. That's why I said keep an eye on him, because if he doesn't end up having the elite athletic testing numbers that maybe Harbaugh wants in the safety, perhaps it will change an opinion on Caleb Downs. But keep an eye on Caleb Downs and really all of these guys that we mentioned. I think any of them could be fits for the Giants. There's also some offensive tackles that we want to dive into a little bit more. Kind of hard to get what you want out of an offensive tackle at the combine unless you're just going to see them put up a ridiculous 30 bench reps or something like that. Maybe you keep an eye on the 40-yard dash time, really more on the 10-yard split for the offensive tackles. But some guys to kind of keep an eye on. I like Blake Miller out of Clemson as a potential second-round prospect if the Giants want to take an offensive tackle there. He could be a right tackle. He started a right tackle for Clemson. He's really good. He's a mauler. He's got good footwork, but some think that he might move into guard. So that's just one name to kind of, you know, focus on. And then JC Davis out of Illinois, talking about him as a 6'5", 335-pound, four-year starter in college, 24 starts under his belt, and then 25 starts at another college. So he played a lot of football games. He's a guy that you could probably see in the fourth or fifth round because he played at some small schools before transferring at Illinois. But Alex, other than that, anybody who comes to mind, potential sleepers, or how about just some potential storylines that you're paying attention to for the New York Giants going into Combine Week?
I'm curious. We have interviews tomorrow, I believe, right, with Joe Shane and John Harbaugh. So we're going to get a pretty good idea of what they're looking at, what players they're seeing. I'm sure they'll get specific questions. So anything from that, we will relay to you in an episode tomorrow. But, you know, storylines, who are the Giants watching? Like, what players are they, you know, kind of keying in on? You'll probably learn more about that from the beat reporters and whatnot. But there's a lot of talent in this draft at specific positions. There's weaker guys. Like, Anthony, you know, it's kind of funny. I was just looking at the quarterbacks list of guys that are in this draft class. Do you remember the big storyline about Drew Aller last year? And now he's in this draft class. Like, people don't even realize he's in this draft class. Oh, yeah, he got cooked. But, like, it's just crazy to see, like, from year one to year two, just a year, what that could do to a player's stock. I mean, Drew Aller's probably a mid-round pick now. Like, he is a flyer in the mid-rounds. Like, that's what he's become, most likely. Crazy. This is a weak quarterback class. It's weak at several positions. Offensive line's a little bit iffy. But otherwise, you know, the Giants, the positions that we need, like, you know, some receivers, linebackers, it's actually decently strong run stopping, defensive tackles. We actually have quite a lot of options to choose from. So that's encouraging.
That is encouraging. This is a draft class that's really strong at a lot of the Giants' positions of need. Linebacker is one that you mentioned. I can't remember the last time we had a class that was so strong at linebacker. It's a deep wide receiver class. That happens pretty often. There seems to be a lot of deep wide receiver classes, especially since we started doing the show. But even still, that opens up a lot of options for the New York Giants. They don't have to go wide receiver in the first round if they don't want to, knowing they could potentially take somebody in the second or in those middle to late rounds at wide receiver. And one other thing that I'm going to throw out there, Alex, you did mention Drew Aller. He's number 139 on PFF's big board, right? Like, this is a guy who's going day three now. But so is Cade Klubnik. He's probably going in day three. Carson Beck is probably going day three. We talked about him at one point as a guy who was in contention for a first-round pick for the Giants last year until his stock fell. Garrett Nussmeier, similar story. He's probably going day two. Ty Simpson, he's going day two, maybe even end of day one. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because quarterbacks, teams love to trade up for quarterbacks. The Giants, they don't have a third-round pick. Could they view their early second-round pick as an opportunity to move back a few spots with a team trying to get up there at number 37, take a quarterback at the top of the second round, and all of a sudden the Giants are picking mid-second round, plus they have a pick in the third round. So I'm keeping an eye on these quarterbacks because, again, somebody like Drew Aller, who you just mentioned, Alex, probably going day three, but at one point he had top five buzz in an NFL draft. Could he have a really good NFL scouting combine, interview well, throw a really strong fastball on that little measurement that they do and show off that arm strength? And then, hey, does somebody say, you know what, at the second round he's got all this buzz, all of a sudden we want him? Or does Ty Simpson fall out of the first round and is he there for the taking at 37 overall, where you can assume somebody will definitely want to trade up for a quarterback named Ty Simpson and maybe give the Giants an extra valuable pick? So a lot of storylines to follow, a lot of storylines that we will be breaking down this week. And like Alex said, interviews from John Harbaugh and Joe Shane with the media tomorrow. We're excited to react to those interviews and break them down here on the channel. So stay tuned. Make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you listen to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants. Perfect.